Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
FM News Talk 97.1.
Wow, what a week. I was trying to wonder and trying to figure out earlier, did July go by fast or slow? I have no idea. Honestly,
that's a great question. Yeah, because it seems like July 4th was just a day yesterday, but then again,
but I don't even most days just blend together. And on top of this, Monday felt like Friday to me. So this whole week felt like, wow, it's an extension. It's a like a Groundhog Day over and over. And the strange thing is, it's because my routine has changed. I normally do the night show on KMOX. So coming in and filling in for Annie Fry here with you guys on 97.1, it changed everything so much. I don't know what day it is half the time. I don't know what the date is. It's the 31st, but it feels like it's August, but it's not. I don't know. It's disorienting, isn't it? The sun will do that to you when you're not used to seeing it.
That's true.
When you're working late. But we have another day together. I'm Ryan Recker, and you can find me on Twitter, Facebook. If you do a search, Ryan Recker Radio on Facebook. Just a quick note. This came through the last couple of hours, and actually an official statement from the St. Louis Cardinals, if you missed it, from just about 10 minutes ago. The statement, Cardinals learned late last night that two players have tested positive for COVID-19 and testing on Wednesday prior to their game against the Twins. The team did not leave their hotel this morning for Miller Park. The Cardinals were scheduled to play the Brewers this afternoon. It looks like as of now, they're still on for tomorrow's scheduled game. And then they're going to make up for it on Sunday with a doubleheader. Originally, 110 was the first game, and then they'll do the second game after that. It says the team is currently rapid testing of the entire traveling party, has implemented contact tracing, and will continue to self-isolate. So Cardinals, after the news with the Marlins the other day, and the Marlins had, how many players? 12, 14, or not all players, but at least members of the organization testing positive. It put them in a whirlwind. They had to cancel their home opener and all of these other things. And now you can tell Major League Baseball is not taking any chances with this. So that's the absolute latest. If you haven't heard that news, Cardinals finally putting out that official statement just about 10 minutes ago. But it was what was already reported. We had it on our sister station, KMOX's website, and I didn't know they tested on Wednesday. That's a new bit of information for me. I guess it does take even pro players a day and a half. You know what? Someone came into the studio earlier and said they knew someone that got tested. It took them 21 days to get the results.
Wow.
20?
What's the point?
What? Yeah. 1 day. So if you play for Major League Baseball, you can get it in a day and a half. But if
the
you're
privilege.
Yeah, regular Joe Schmo or whatever, and you're going to have to wait about 20 days.
Golly.
But they also mentioned that a lot of times if you are testing negative, they have such a backlog that they don't normally tell you, or I have no idea. It just goes to show you the whole system is a little bit wacky right now if you're just an average, everyday type of person. So the Cardinals releasing that statement, and I think we're going to have Chris Raby on from our sister station, KMOX, who does pre- and post-game coverage of the Cardinals just in the next segment. So about 15 minutes from now. Looking forward to that. Dr. Fauci, is he still testifying in front of Congress this morning? I think he is. He's in front of the House committee investigating the coronavirus response. He's had a few of these different ones. Man, there were a couple of moments that were just, you had to stop and watch moments with Fauci. Can we play clip number 4 to start this off?
Mm-hmm. Do protests increase the spread of the virus? I think I can make a general statement.
Well, 500,000 protesters on June 6th alone. Yeah. I'm just asking, that number of people, does it increase the spread of the virus?
Crowding together, particularly when you're not wearing a mask, contributes to the spread of the virus.
Should we limit the protesting?
I'm not sure what you mean. Should, how do we say limit the protesting?
Should government limit the protesting?
I don't think that's relevant to.
Well, you just said if it increases the spread of the virus, I'm just asking, should we limit it?
Well, I'm not in a position to determine what the government can do in a forceful way.
Well, you make all kinds of recommendations. You make comments on dating, on baseball, on everything you can imagine. I'm just asking, you just said that protests increase the spread. I'm just asking, should we try to limit the protests?
No, I think I would leave that to people who have more of a position to do that. I can tell you.
Government stopping people from going to church, Dr. Fauci?
Yeah.
Last week in the Calvary Chapel case, five liberals on the Supreme Court said it was okay for Nevada to limit church services.
I guess Roberts is included as one of those liberals, according to Jim Jordan from Ohio there. Remind me, Ryan Wiggins, did Dr. Fauci actually make recommendations to close churches and schools, or was he just, for the most part, trying to stay vague on that?
Do you remember? I don't know that he specifically said anything about churches. I can look it up to see.
I just want to double check if he's made any conclusions on those other cases, because I'm thinking back at the previous testimonies. The last time he was in front of the committee, they mostly looked at schools, and we had Rand Paul really lay out the argument of there being a very low risk for students. Reopening schools would be necessary based on the evidence that we had. And I was trying to remember, did he actually come to a conclusion that we should close schools, or did he keep it generic?
You know, well, here concerning churches, a real quick search, I just found that he did say that he had quite a bit to say, actually. He said that there should be no communion. We should practice social distancing, masks in church, and that he recommends prohibiting singing.
Oh, yeah, that's right. No singing.
Oh, yeah, I forgot that he said that. Yeah.
By the way, how do you get around that? And people share microphones. We share microphones here at the station, but we sanitize everything. Did you remember yesterday during the funeral service, they were singing, they were sharing microphones. We even had some of the, you know, former presidents using the exact same microphone in which they were speaking into.
Gosh,
they weren't sanitizing between. But that's company policy here because we're radio people. We know what it's like when one person gets a sore throat. Everyone could get a sore throat. So in times like this, they're like super careful that we are sanitizing, wiping down, keeping our distancing, using hand sanitizer, washing there. We've gotten to the point where they want to be so certain that it's like, we got to send out these guidelines again because we just need to be 100% sure that everyone's on board with it. But when you watch yesterday, when the president, like we had President Obama, President Clinton, President Bush, all using the same microphone, getting this close to it, and still, it would be nearly impossible for them not to, you know, have a little bit of droplets, if they like to say,
that's
inside of a closed area.
That slipped my mind completely.
Yeah, and now we are here. So we talked about it with church, and Fauci has made some recommendations on how services would look. During the whole thing with school, he was talking about, you know, asking and answering questions about the school thing. The thing that is really interesting and does not work into Fauci's favor is when he is asked directly about government protesting, and he says, I don't know if I ever make recommendations. No. You do. You do. Yeah. And why is it that we cannot come out against unsafe protesting, but man, they'll jump on everyone's back if you go to church and start singing, you know? Let's play clip number five real quick.
Just asking, is there a world where the Constitution says you can favor one First Amendment liberty, protesting, over another, practicing your faith?
I'm not favoring anybody over anybody. I'm just making a statement that's a broad statement that avoid crowds of any type, no matter where you are, because that leads to the acquisition and transmission. And I don't judge one crowd versus another crowd. When you're in a crowd, particularly if you're not wearing a mask, that induces
the
spread.
It's a simple question, doctor. Should we limit the protests? Government is obviously limiting people going to church. And look, there's been no violence that I can see at church. I haven't seen people during a church service go out and harm police officers.
All right, I want to pick that up there, but I just want to point this out real quick. It's the politicians are deathly afraid to criticize protesters, even though it continues to find there is a track record of them turning violent and track record of them assaulting police officers, committing arson, among other pretty violent crimes. And they're so careful when it comes to protesting, but man, they do not mind if they go out there and criticize churchgoers, put restrictions on churchgoers, and they really don't care or realize that when you have the restrictions on one but not the other, that it is not looked upon as fair. So why is it that the protests get a free pass? Now, even before all of the George Floyd protests started, there were people in protests that were happening in front of state buildings in states like Michigan, which became pretty popular, of those that were protesting the government's intrusion and did not like the idea of closing the government down. And they were looked at as terrorists, and they were looked at as some sort of, you know, the worst scum on the earth because they were out there expressing and protesting there. But then when we see these other protests that prolong for 60 plus days, doing probably a worse job at social distancing, and they are, you got to let them be. We can't allow ourselves to go and criticize that, even the merits of it. It shows you just how hypocritical the coverage of this has been, I think, at least. And I'm glad Jim Jordan is bringing it up. Let me finish that Jim Jordan clip real quick.
I haven't seen people during a church service go out and harm police officers or burn buildings, but we know that. I mean, for 63 days, 9 weeks, it's been happening in Portland.
Right. Yeah.
Well, one night in Chicago, 49 officers were injured, but no limit to protest. But boy, you can't go to church on Sunday.
Yeah, boy, you can't go to church on Sunday. This is what I feel would be happening right now if the tables were turned. So if it wasn't the MSNBCs or the CNNs of the world, if they were taking this right now, and this is what Fox would be doing if they were looked at as the same way as hyperpartisan, the headline would be something along the lines of, Dr. Fauci says no large gatherings when talking about protests. So they would put a misleading headline in there. You can tell Fauci was being specifically careful not to bring up protests, but generically bringing up the idea that large gatherings with no social distancing or masks are generally a bad idea. But I won't talk about protests, but I'll say this in a general way. Now, if you wanted to spin that, you can absolutely say that Fauci comes out and against protesting in large groups and says it's dangerous and you shouldn't be doing it. That's what MSNBC or CNN would be doing right now if it was on the other foot. So I'm just trying to say, I can see how this easily could be spinned. And look at, maybe it's important for Fauci to try to play the middle ground. Why is he waiting this long to play the middle ground then when he hasn't up until this point?
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, he's not played the middle ground at all until it came to these protests. He's at least kind of wiggling around it, trying to. I mean, Bill de Blasio, the mayor of New York, just came out and said all large events are canceled except for the protests. Uh-huh. Those are fine. I mean, that's not even covert. Like, that's clear that you're favoring one group over another.
Which would you rather have, the politician come out and try to, like, persuade you that he is middle ground, wishy-washy, while behind the scenes he's making a decision like that? Or would you rather have him just come out and be like, this is how I feel?
I could see both ways. I like when a politician attempts to, you know, try to act like they're being nonpartisan, because Then at least we value nonpartisanship. But, you know, you kind of got to respect somebody who's like, well, here's the rules. I know they don't make any sense. There you go.
Exactly.
Now, let me talk about the integrity of just this moment here. And I know Fauci's in a no-win situation. And it's not that I dislike Fauci. I feel like I'm giving him a hard time right here. I don't not like him. There's a lot of people that absolutely hate him and do not trust what he says. I don't have that ill will against him, and I don't have that hatred towards him. I can just look at this and realize that you can come out and say it's consistent with the way we've been, that it's a bad idea to be in close proximity without masks and social distancing. Protesters are included in that. It wouldn't be that difficult for him to say these sort of things, but the fact that he's afraid to say it indicates to me that they're trying to appease the protester because they feel somehow it's the path least taken, and it's a lot easier for them to get through the day if they don't bring it up, as in, oh, I won't get the hatred or the bad headlines or whatever it is. But if your job is to specifically stop and slow the spread of this virus, and you are not taking a stance on something that would stop and slow the spread of this virus, you're doing that at the risk of other people's health, then should you be in that position if you can't be forceful enough? You shouldn't. You should have to be able to come out if you know this is something that will help people and you know this is the path we need to take. Then why are you wishy-washy on this when you know that this is your job to put the information out in order to help and protect people? So it is being politicized by him not saying anything. And if it was him, just the integrity of his job, and you wanted to stand up and say, I did everything I could, then you would say to the protesters, you're doing it wrong. You need to be more careful. But he's not doing that. So integrity is a big thing when it comes to this type of position. It would be good for him to do this and then stand up and say, I need to be consistent. But he's not taking that route. Unless he's doing it right now. I mean, they're still testifying. I guess he could have changed his tune.
It changes his mind a lot, so.
It could go either way.
Yeah.
I don't know. And you sent me that article earlier, Ryan Wiggins, about the wear goggles and other things that they're now recommending, face shields, and Fauci brought this up the other day. Isn't that crazy, too? So, protesting, not going to specifically call them out, but by the way, you should probably be wearing goggles and face masks in public. What?
Yeah. Yeah, we're 6 months into this. I have a new recommendation that I just discovered.
Uh-huh.
It can come in through your eyes now.
Yeah, some people worried about that sort of thing. And remember there was the one doctor that was the expert for MSNBC and NBC's The Today Show who said, I contracted this through the eyes. And then it turned out to be a lie. He tested negative like 8 times.
And how would you know? Well, I've had my mouth shut, so it had to come in through my eyes.
Yeah, exactly. Wouldn't that be nice, though, if the commentators there kept their mouth shut?
Yes.
I mean, I would endorse that. All right, we're going to try to hook up with our friend Chris Raby. He's does sports for Cardinals baseball on our sister station, KMOX, and I wanted to talk to him about the situation baseball's in today, in particular about the Cardinals finding out today that a couple of players test positive for COVID-19. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for Andy Fry on 97.1 FM Talk. So the announcement came out earlier today regarding the postponement of the Cardinals-Brewers game. The Cardinals are in Milwaukee. And on Wednesday, a test before their game against the, it wasn't the Pirates, I'm getting them mixed up, but they actually, the Twins. Okay, they play Minnesota. Two Cardinals players have tested positive based on that Wednesday test, and because of it, they're isolating the Cardinals players in their hotel in Milwaukee. They're postponing the game tonight, and they're planning on a doubleheader on Sunday. That was the big announcement from the Cardinals earlier today. Joining us now to discuss is a friend of mine down the hall at KMOX. He does the pre- and post-game and Sports Open Line on KMOX, Chris Raby. Thanks for coming on.
Well, first of all, I thought you were a vampire. What would have happened if I was in the studio and I just came in draped in bulbs of garlic? Would you have just disintegrated?
No, I have.
We only see each other at the very late evening after baseball games, usually.
That's true. I feel like I have the antidote. But the weird thing is, when you come in at night, there's a limited staff, but it's exactly the same feeling right now with everyone working from home. It's like the same feeling. Limited staff, you don't see too many people. So it almost feels like it's coming in at night, except the sun's outside.
Right. And those of us that are non-vampirian can enjoy the sunlight.
Yeah. Now, I wanted to talk to you about what happened with the Cardinals today, and I feel like this is just the plan Major League Baseball has put in place, and they're following now the plan. And yeah, with those players that have tested positive, two players, they said, now they're going to self-quarantine. They're staying in their hotel room. They're still planning on playing tomorrow. To me, it looks like the plan is working because we're able to at least try to keep the gears moving. We haven't screeched to a halt yet. For you as a broadcaster and you watch all of this happening right now, what are your impressions of now it hitting home with the Cardinals?
My impressions are that there will probably be, the next couple of hours where everyone's on Twitter and fearing that the season's over and the world is over and vampires like yourself are going to overrun the world. I kid. But I think over the last few months, Ryan, we've been so desperate for life, but sports as well, to just get back to normal that, it's almost like, you're planning like a trip to the beach and you keep checking the weather, fearing that it's going to rain. And it seems like it's just kept raining over the last few months. And, it's funny because fans, like, we're so glued to our phones and sports especially, and we're refreshing Twitter and whether it was the labor disputes and wondering if they were ever actually going to get to a point where they'd get on the field or, the COVID protocols. Like, people just have been fearing the worst. But over the last couple of days, before these Cardinal developments, when, members of the Marlins team and staff tested positive on Monday, the Cardinals were actually traveling to Minnesota that day. And John Mozeliak told me, he's like, well, I haven't heard from anyone like in the industry. Like, I didn't even think about it. Like, people were asking Mo the next day in our press availability, like, were you worried that the season was about to be canceled? He's like, no, it was business as usual. I think that everyone inside the industry or the bubble, so to speak, not actually a bubble like the NBA or the NHL have, but kind of inside the Major League Baseball protocol, I think they all feel pretty good about it. I feel like dollars are generally a pretty accurate North Star for things like this. And I just, maybe it's idealistic of me or or too optimistic of me, but I just don't feel like the wheels of this thing would have started churning if they thought like it was going to get shut down. Yeah. And who knows, perhaps in a month or two, the fact that there were some positive tests early on will end up being a blessing in disguise, because they'll say, all right, the protocol either worked or it didn't work. Like, we're going to find out one way or another over the next week if this works or not. But all the players and staff and personnel that I've talked to, club officials, both on and off the record, you know, everyone pretty much, you know, at least my impressions is they feel pretty confident in what's in place and the way that they're moving forward.
You know, you have these protocols in place, and we found reports with the outbreak with the Marlins a little bit different, because it seems like the etiquette of the players to try to keep away and not go out and, you know, try to go out there and go to clubs and party or whatever is, some of that may have been broken in the situation where there was that large outbreak in Miami. But for the Cardinals, no indication of that. It just looks like sometimes incidentally, it's not going to be it's not going to be 100% perfect scenarios where you're going to be able to avoid this at all costs.
Yeah.
The big question is, can we minimize it, limit it, and try to protect the players as much as possible? When I look at this, this is exactly what needs to happen in order to make those things happen. You have to be responsible off the field, and it looks like the Cardinals have been. It's just these little things that crop up, you have to react to them quickly, and it's exactly what they're doing.
Yeah, and again, like, I think we need to realize that just because these guys are young athletes, like, if someone tests positive, A, it doesn't mean that they're like bedridden and like totally ill and were acting irresponsibly when they probably should have known they were sick. They could be asymptomatic. Mm-hmm. And B, it doesn't mean that they were like out at the club. You know, like, I think that that's one thing that I keep hearing. It's like, how are we going to keep these players away from the clubs and the bars and the restaurants? Like, I get it. Like, it would suck to be on the road and go to all these great cities and not be able to leave your hotel room. Major League Baseball actually has put like literally hall monitors in place now in the hotels of the teams on the road. And obviously when you're at home, you're going to be at your house and in your car and driving to the ballpark. And I imagine getting gas, like whatever. But, you know, again, I think that we have seen over the last few months that not all positive tests are created equal. Like, I posed this question to someone in the industry today. I said, like, if we went to Schnucks, like in like Clayton today, like a busy Schnucks just in the middle of the day, and there was like a little indicator above, like time froze like a movie, and there was a little indicator above every single person in the grocery store, how many people do you think would be positive that have no idea that they're even positive right now?
Yeah, that like, number just, is interesting, because a lot of people think they may have had it at some point but really didn't.
Yeah,
the big thing like, is you just don't know. And I would love to meet a Cardinal player, Schnucks.
Well, and now these guys, they're getting tested every day. So you're going to find out. But again, I guess the point is, like, you got to trust that the organization and each organization, whether it's the Cardinals or the Tigers or the Angels or the Mariners, that they are doing what they feel they need to do to, you know, drive home to everybody. Like, listen, this is on you guys. Essentially, the entire industry is on the players and the players staying healthy. But on the flip side of that, just because someone tests positive, like if your grandma tests positive, does that mean that she was in the club last week? Like, I don't know why some of these guys don't get the same benefit of the doubt. So I think that's the really murky part, like that, you know, instantly, if someone tests positive, I hope they're not instantly vilified, because, again, I think there's a lot of gray area. And, again, it's just part of the protocol that I guess Major League Baseball is going to have to continue to account for. And keep your grandma out of the club.
Chris Raby from Sports Open Line on the phone with us right now. Chris, this is Ryan Wiggins. We like to keep our names simple so that listeners don't get confused. When you were talking about the Cardinals canceling games now, and of course we're talking about the Marlins, in addition to that, Philadelphia Phillies planning a three-game canceled series against the Blue Jays now, I get that Major League Baseball had plan A, and that you're saying, you know, this is all part of plan B. They knew something would probably happen, so that's cool. But do you think there is a tipping point where if we start having to cancel too many games, that they're going to say, you know what, we don't think we can actually make all these up?
I think the protocol gives them the confidence that they're not going to have to cancel too many games. And again, like, not to avoid the question, Ryan, but I think we kind of need more data points. Like, it's kind of hard for me to say the NBA bubble is going to completely work without question because they've been there for a couple of weeks. And for the first half of that, everyone quarantined. Or the NHL bubble is going to work because they've played a couple of games. They've only been there a few days. Or the Major League Baseball bubble is not going to work because a couple of guys have tested positive. Like, I keep going back to, I do not think the wheels of this billion-dollar industry would have started churning and would be churning right now if they thought, A, that it was going to stop, and then, ipso facto, that was going to cost them money. Again, maybe that's idealistic, and maybe it will all shut down. Like, Mozeliak has asked us, like, what happens if an entire team tests positive, right? Like, the Marlins right now are calling players up. They've had their game suspended, like you said, through Sunday. They'll get guys from their taxi squad. They'll piecemeal the rest of the schedule. The Cardinals will actually probably be the first team to play one of these seven-inning doubleheaders on Sunday. So there are steps to try and patchwork the schedule geographically and from a, you know, logistical standpoint. But
yeah,
what if an entire team tests positive and there are no more players to bring up? Like, that's an unknown scenario.
Well, let me
ask you
this, Chris.
Major League Baseball has thought of that, but hopefully it doesn't get to that point. Yeah.
Since you brought it up, is Major League Baseball actually being smarter? We're almost out of time here, but are they being smarter by keeping the teams separate, whereas the NHL and NBA, all the teams are together? It almost seems like there'd be a higher risk of all those teams contracting it.
You know, I think it's a great question. And again, I'm sure that social media and writers will make grandiose declarations. And I've already seen people condemning baseball over the last week and praising the NBA. I don't know if we know yet, Ryan. It's so early. Like, the NBA played their first two games of the regular season last night.
Yeah.
They are planning on playing for another 3 months. Like, they've been in the bubble for like 3.5% of the total elapsed time. So I don't know, but I do think at the end of the day, whether you're in a bubble, whether you're traveling around like baseball, whether you're a regular person, well, I guess we're big radio stars, so not regular people.
Right, not us.
We're not peasants, but if you are a common streetwalker, like, it all comes down to personal responsibility. Are you doing the right thing? Are you, you know, taking the precautions that you need to take? Are you getting checked out if you don't feel well? Are you staying home when you need to stay home? Are you wearing a mask when you need to wear a mask? Like, whether you're Dexter Fowler or Ryan Wiggins or Ryan Recker, like, at the end of the day, none of us control the virus, and the only thing we can control is what we do. And I think that if all of the athletes have that in mind, then it probably gives them the best chance to get as many games in as possible. Lord knows I hope so, because I'm tired of playing games from 1982.
Me too. Yeah. Sports Open Line on KMOX, also pre- and post-game for the Cardinals. You can hear Chris Raby. Thank you so much for coming on today.
Anytime. Thanks, guys.
Chris is very good at breaking that down. I am, I normally follow him at night, depending on what the day is. So we kind of cross over every once in a while, but I don't know the last time I've actually seen him in person. You know, one thing I mentioned to him, and I just feel it's worth following up on when it came to the Marlins outbreak, there was a reporter, Bob Nightingale, who said that there were multiple Marlins players that went out onto the town before testing positive when they were out leaving the hotel rooms in Atlanta. So that was actually something that contributed probably to the large number that we saw in Miami and them canceling the homestand, or at least the home opener, for the Miami Marlins. So Cardinals, it doesn't really have any indication that they broke protocol. It just seems like it's part of, it's just part of the natural way that this virus spreads, and sometimes it's impossible to stop it, even if you take all the precautions. All right, so thanks to Chris Raby. Coming up in a few moments, I wanted to open things up to Ryan Wiggins. There was a conservative blogger in Portland that's making some news. And sometimes you hear about these, sometimes you don't. And it's important to bring it up because a lot of times you don't. So we're going to do that next on Andy Fry's show here. I almost said my show. I got, almost got right into the routine. I know.
You know what? You were so close, Ryan. It's been almost a week. It is a week today.
And I almost missed it. But I'm filling in for Andy Fry on 97.1 FM Talk. Yes, it is. And I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for Andy Fry.
Yes, you are.
We have a lot to get to. In fact, locally, I didn't even realize they were spending this much time considering reopening charges against Darren Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
I was a little disappointed in general for that whole thing to have to be brought back up, as in trying to force the hand because there's a new prosecutor in town. We might talk a little Ellen DeGeneres next hour, too, and her latest controversies. There's a lot of them out there. Turning the blind eye to sexual assault? Question mark? That's what the social media catchy headlines are this morning. But there was another thing about her and not wanting eye contact and things like that. You know, I'm actually going to defend Ellen a little bit in the next hour when it comes to that. And definitely getting to the Jeffrey Epstein document dump from yesterday, some testimony from one of the accusers now out there in public. And there's a couple of notes that I wanted to point out to you in there. So, Ryan Wiggins, there's a conservative blogger in Portland that was attacked. And you don't hear an awful lot about these things from happening. Normally, if there was anyone that's attacked, and it's like front headlines. But if it's a police officer or someone that has a red hat on, or it's someone that is out there trying to document what's going on for a right-leaning news source, then it's completely brushed under the rug. So I wanted to talk to you about this one. What exactly happened in Portland with this conservative blogger?
Yeah, so apparently he, just like many bloggers do, they go to where the action's at to see what's really going on, to show their viewers, you know, what's really going on and provide their take on it. So Andrew Duncombe is his name. I'm not familiar with him. Annie's probably way into this world more than I am, and she might know his name. I don't. But he's apparently popular enough that he was videoing things going on in the Portland area and the protests and the violence there. And some people started following him because they thought they recognized him. He recognized that he was being followed and turned to ask them to stop following him. And I guess they didn't, and it got violent. And once they realized who he was, he was stabbed. And he says it's extremely clear that this was a hate crime of sorts, and that they stabbed him because he was providing a voice that they didn't want there. And I don't know that he had everything on camera, but apparently there is video of this happening to him that he has to prove his point. So it's dangerous time to go to a protest right now if you're a conservative, apparently.
Mm. Can we play clip number 10 real quick out of Portland? President Trump had some comments on them.
Sure.
Sorry. Oh, you're
the governor and the mayor, we've been dealing with them, and we think they don't know what they're doing, because this should not have been going on for 60 days. It's not our job, unless in case of emergency, which I consider now to be an emergency, it's not our job to go in and clean out the cities. That's supposed to be done by local law enforcement.
That's part of the precedent that you're setting in some of these large cities like Portland, is that if you get a large enough group that's threatening, that you're going to be allowed to escalate to the point where you're assaulting police officers, you're committing arson, you're destroying public property, and into some cases, you're even committing acts of murder. Because during this whole CHOP, whatever that went down, or the CHAZ, or whatever it is, where there's shootings that go on, and you have police and paramedics that said, yeah, right, like I'm going to go in there and be the next one to get shot. You're on your own. And you have people that are dying in the street. Is that what it takes before there's a reaction? But it's still going on in Portland. There still is danger that happens. And part of the nonsense that I don't understand, too, when it comes to protesting, the appeasement of it all, which is we're allowed to take over highways and we're going to march and block off the interstates, or we'll just take over a couple of blocks of public area. Or in some cases, they even feel like they're allowed to go into police precincts and take them over as if they somehow lay claim to them because they're upset. We appease these type of things. And then the leaders of a city, instead of saying that, obviously, no, this is not lawful and we're not going to allow it to happen, instead, they take the different route, which is what they did in Baltimore after Freddie Gray. They need to get their frustrations out. And if they take a building down, that's nowhere. That is nothing compared to the life that was lost based in whatever. And then they'll point to Minneapolis or whatever, in this case, Baltimore. And they'll use this as a way to try to justify all of these other actions that are against the law that actually put other people in harm, put police officers in harm, put innocent people at harm. And by the way, all of these business owners that are in this area of Portland that were taken over, good luck trying to get your business back. Like, anyone's going to ever want to come up to your storefront ever again. Your livelihood could be taken away. All of these things that happen, and you're sitting there every day reading the news, and you're seeing, okay, again, another day where Portland is allowing this. Another day where they're going to allow it to escalate to the point of violence. Another day where we're going to have to watch fire on from a helicopter as they look down at the protests that are going on in the streets. One other day of this and that. Here in St. Louis, after what happened in Minneapolis and the reaction to it and the protests that happened, some were peaceful, some were claimed to be peaceful that were not actually peaceful. And then we had flat out violent nights where four officers were shot, buildings were burned down, businesses were looted, and Captain Dorn was killed by those trying to take things from a pawn shop. If we had 60 straight days of that happening in our own community, you better believe we would be absolutely down on our knees begging for Governor Parson to step in and the mayor to do something, and we would be welcoming President Trump and the national troops to stop this from happening, because the reasonable people, the ones that want lawful change, the ones that want these things to be peaceful— they're the ones that are going to have to be listened to at some point, but that's not who they're listening to in other cities. And this is, again, Portland's just one city. Seattle's another one. There may be only a handful of cities that are going through this, but maybe the point of all of this is that in theory, should we allow lawlessness and allow for lawlessness for an extended period of time? And should that be the policy of these large cities? And if that's the case, then we really need to get at least St. Louis's elected officials on record how they would handle a Portland here if they would allow it to go on this long, because I would like that to be right next to their name on the ballot, and we need to elect those people out for trying to preventative matter.
We've talked about the censorship of conservative voices and the cancel culture and the atmosphere, the stabbing of a conservative voice apparently that happened yesterday or the day before in Portland. All these things, they don't make it an environment where you're free to speak up. Because I'm sure there are a lot of people who are not conservative at all. They might be middle of the road, or they might even be pretty left-leaning, who are in cities right now going, I support peaceful protests, but I don't support any of the rest of this.
Yeah.
But they're not going to speak up because, A, they might be like, well, this is kind of, I kind of support the protest, so I don't want to speak up too loudly because I like that part of it. But then They're also afraid of being canceled themselves. And so nobody who's there is really speaking up. And that's the problem, is that it's just not being stopped. And the leaders are just listening to whoever's talking the loudest, and they're just letting it happen. And so it's just like you said, Ryan Recker, that I don't know why I would say Ryan Recker as if I were referring to myself.
Just like you said, Ryan Wiggins.
Just like you said, Ryan Wiggins, when you made that great point earlier at the beginning of your sentence.
Yeah, and the problem is there's so many people that stand up for the protesters. They see it as the natural process you need to go through for some sort of social justice. Like, imagine here in St. Louis if a reporter from KMOV who's been reporting these things. Now, keep in mind, a few Sundays ago when they were reporting outside of the courthouse, the protesters there, like, pushed over and were threatening to the KMOV reporter, knocking the cameras down, yelling, screaming at police, doing all these different things. Imagine if it was a reporter from any of the local news outlets that got stabbed. Would you still be sympathetic to the protesters at that point? Unfortunately, in Portland, they still are, and the national attention still is. All right, another hour of Andy Fry Show coming up on 97.1 FM Talk.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.